The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Through the words of the Gospel, since we walked away.
Last week we celebrated the great feast of Pentecost, and after that, the end of the Easter season occurred. So now we are in what's known as ordinary time, but today we have the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity to remind us that with God, there is no thing as ordinary. Before the creation of the world, the Father Almighty, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit existed in perfect harmony, one God in three persons, a trinity of one substance. I used the word harmony purposely because I liken the love that existed in the Trinity to a perpetual symphony, a glorious song that never ends, one that never gets old, and one that does not get annoying. The love that grows is like a melodious succession of chords or group of notes in perfect harmony, each chord even more glorious than the previous one, a perfect masterpiece. The love among the Trinity was so intense that they wanted to share their very unified existence. But there was no thing, no one with whom to share it. So in a great act of selfless love, the God in three persons created the angels. The beauty of the Trinity was now able to be adored by others. The love for the angels was such that the Trinity allowed those angels who chose to align themselves with the will of God not only to witness God's glory, but they were invited to also participate. The divine composer invited them to join their voices to that of the Trinity, so that the music they add is in perfect harmony with the will of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The music continued on until God decided to dramatically turn it up a notch, a high point in the symphony, perhaps what we might refer to as the Big Bang, when the physical universe came into existence. The moon and stars he set in place into a delicate balance, in perfect harmony with all of creation. Then God created animals who, just by doing what they were created to do, gave glory to God. Then the Trinity in perfect unison says in Genesis, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Again, the magnificence of this eternal symphonic masterpiece takes on a different quality, and now mankind is also invited to add their own unique voices. Eventually, however, something contrary to God's plan occurs. Adam and Eve, enticed by the evil one, decide that they do not want to follow the musical score of the triune God. They want to create their own piece of music that is out of sync with the natural order as ordained by God. They misuse their free will and separate themselves from that heavenly chorus. Continuing our musical analogy, they hit a sour note, a real clunker. And this clunker has reverberated down through time in what we call original sin. However, God, as the eternal composer, can rework our discordant inclinations and bring us back into harmony with Him, with His plan, with His musical score. The Trinity's love for us is so passionate that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, sent by the Father, came to earth to die for our sins, to destroy our sour notes. And Jesus rose so that we can be restored to that heavenly chorus and participate in His glory. He pours into our hearts the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts guide us to be in proper accord with the heavenly score, so that we can recognize what is good, true, and beautiful, so that we can avoid the pitfalls of those sour notes. In this heavenly symphony of our lives, we each have been given gifts, gifts that reflect the glory of the Trinity. Whether you are a teacher, doctor or nurse, office assistant, priest or deacon, maintenance worker, police officer or firefighter, sanitation worker, drive-through clerk, bank teller, or an electrician, you have at your disposal the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be intentional disciples where you can sing God's praises in your vocation and to invite others through your words and actions into that great symphony of the Holy Trinity. The place, though, where we can have the most influence of inviting others into the loving, harmonious relationship of the Trinity, and where the Trinity is best reflected, is within our own families. Fathers, on this Father's Day, do not underestimate your ability to be the conductor of your domestic symphony in which you love and guide your children, along with your wife, through your example in the ways of God, so that they too can add their own voices to the beauty of the Trinity. When these gifts or talents are properly used and configured to God's will, they allow all of us to be instruments of His grace. In doing so, others may be fascinated and see the joy in our hearts so that they too will desire to be participants of that glorious chorus when we join the angels and archangels, as we do at every Mass, when we sing the Gloria, when we acclaim loud and proud with one voice, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts," when we sing the great Amen. And as we sing these songs of praise at Mass, we should not be worried if every once in a while we hit a sour note. Because just as He does with our sins in the confessional, He can redeem those too.